Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Happy Monday to you. That's John Lopez. I'm Reginald Atula. Figgy Fig look like he's about to go deliver a newspaper or spit a hot bar with a hot verse with Dr. Dre on the production. That's also what you look like right now.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, you do look like the hat that Eminem always be wearing around.
Oh, yeah, that is absolutely that hat.
Oh, that is. You're right.
It's 100% that hat.
Yeah.
It's a comfortable hat, too.
Mm-hmm. Is it?
I can't wear a lot of hats because of my hair, but this one a little stretchy.
Okay.
So I could just... But very down,
good.
Yeah.
Very
yeah.
good. I'm glad that you didn't take any offense to that joke that I just threw at your way. Excited for football coming around. So excited that this exercise that I've been doing has been kind of satiating it. But also now it adds a different level of a, framework to mm-hmm. what we're going into on Wednesday when we get out there at NRG Park to see the fellas get to working. But as you may know, if you've been listening, and if you don't know, I'll let you know, I've been rewatching the 2024 Texans season, getting a little bit of a refresh of what happened during that season, getting some ideas of maybe some things that could spin forward for the Texans in the 2025 season. And I've reached my week 11 rewatch, Monday Night Football at Dallas. What do you recall from this one, Lopez?
That the Cowboys were a hot mess.
Correct.
Like
coming
just
in
an absolute hot mess.
That's right.
And it got worse even before the game started.
That's right.
Right?
The stadium was falling apart. That's right.
Crap was falling from the stadium rafters.
Yeah, someone almost got decapitated at some point.
Yeah.
Only half joking, like a big old sheet metal mm-hmm. fell from the sky. And then we started playing football.
And then they said, nothing to see here. It's all good.
The structure of the stadium is fine. It will not collapse as we're playing football. Get in here. Get in here and watch the football.
So those were the two big takeaways. And it was kind of a paint-by-numbers win for the Texans.
It did feel like that mm-hmm. in thought. Like, the final was 34-10. And as I'm going back to watch, I'm expecting, like, a paint-by-numbers win.
Yeah.
It's not quite what I saw
yeah.
in this game. We start with, this is the return of Nico Collins from that hamstring injury that we had talked about.
How'd that go?
Instant house call. instant screen house call.
Yeah.
However, it's negated by an ineligible man downfield on Laremy Tunsil, and I know what is the feeling immediately when people hear flag on Tunsil.
Yeah.
Thank you. I knew you would hold me down there, Fig.
Yeah.
I have a defense for Laremy Tunsil. He was only 2 yards downfield.
Oh, that's right. Yes, I do remember they showed it a couple times. They actually discussed it, didn't they?
Like, he was only 2 yards downfield. Yeah. Like, he did engage with the linebacker before the ball gets there, but I mean, like, he's offensive lineman, dog. Like, that was unfair. That should have been a touchdown that immediately sets the tone mm-hmm. of that game, which is a little unfair. The offense was getting to the line with purpose early, mm-hmm. which is a real juxtaposition. Like, this very much felt like all the way across before I even get into that juxtaposition. This was get right. And we talked about it all week is, hey, this is the opportunity to beat up on a team that is not doing well. Get yourself right. It's very evident that in the room they were talking about this as a get right.
Oh, no, it was very evident. I'm glad you brought that up. You're triggering some memories now when you do this on your rewatch. It was very evident that there were some come to Jesus moments that week for the Texans, right? Like they have to be quicker. I think in the press conferences that week, D'Amico, or maybe it was Slowick, saying we had to get in and out of the huddle. We got to be ready to go. And sure enough, they did.
First drive. Yeah. It is just getting to the line, moving with purpose, tempo, up tempo, I should say.
Yeah.
Getting that to happen. And you can see it, man. It was showing up. Special team shenanigans starting to bubble up. I think you remember that in the middle of the season. You got, the likes of Boyd out there, doing some shenanigans. That's just the thing that I noted.
Yeah.
The Cowboys looked so weak in this game. Also, I just had to, they were not very good. One thing that was interesting to me, though, is there was, after picking up 11 on a 3rd and 14, they threw a screen. This is first quarter. Mm-hmm. They got to the Dallas 30-yard line. They went for it on 4th and 3.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a level of aggression early that didn't feel normal to D'Amico Ryans. I went back to my previous notes, the ones that I took in live in season, and I was excited about that aggression. But as I was watching it, I didn't feel that same feeling. And there was a number of times in this game where you had some of that same aggression. And I was like, were they that desperate to make a statement? And that also brought me just to, again, something I've kind of hit on a few times but not dug into.
Mm-hmm.
What do you feel about D'Amico Ryans' willingness to go for it at times, like his decision making on when to go, when to be aggressive, when to kick field goals? Because it felt very up and down all last season.
It did. But again, in this particular week, I just feel like they rattled a bunch of cages that whole week. I think this was the point in the season when they knew they were having some issues offensively.
Yes.
They knew that they're, you know, maybe the line and the system were not meshing. And so they changed things up. DeMeco talked about it, as we just mentioned. And I think DeMeco himself said, you know what? We've got to be more aggressive. So, yes, in a general sense, that might be one of the areas in DeMeco's game that we have to watch. But I think in this game, he said, screw it. We're going. We're going to be a different we're going to be a more attacking approach.
All right, I know we'll examine this further, I think, at another time, but I did want to ask a secondary question to that.
Mm-hmm.
Which DeMeco do you want as the head coach for this Texas team? Do you want an aggressive DeMeco or one that maybe leans a little bit more, I guess, conservative, for lack of a better term, maybe leaning on, especially if Kaimi is indeed the same dominant kicker that he has been, leans on that? Because we saw both versions of that last year.
I think most people, fans especially, want their coach to be aggressive. Sometimes, you know, it backfires. I think just in general, people want them to be aggressive. I just want DeMeco to be himself, to be sincere, not act like he has to go for it or not force himself to go for it in those situations, but sincerely feel like they can get it done. So that might be a little bit of a cop-out. Everybody likes an aggressive coach, but I just want him, if he's aggressive, I want him to be sincerely, you know, for the right reasons, doing those things.
Okay, fair enough. One more thing in the first quarter before I move on a little bit. This was a Stingley interception here. Mm-hmm. A Derek Stingley Jr. interception that was just kind of, I mean, just floated right to him. And it looks like the Texans just got a gift from Cooper Rush.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to posit that this was actually engineered perfectly in watching this again. Eric Murphy, sorry, that's a different one. Yeah. There's a blitz. So, like, D'Amico's blitzing a Cooper Rush that is a solid quarterback, but nothing to write home about. Mm-hmm. Knowing that that means he's going to get the ball out quickly. He's not a guy who's going to run around, create more time. He's going to get the ball out quickly. With that being the case, they call a blitz, and then at the same time, Jimmy Ward disrupts the CeeDee Lamb route to the point where it's borderline maybe a yellow flag should have came out. He disrupts the CeeDee Lamb route that is the most likely guy that he's going to get the ball out too quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Those two things mean that Rush gets the ball out quickly, and then he's throwing it into no man's land.
Yeah.
Stingley is positioned perfectly. It looks like it's just a gift. That is DeMeco Ryan's defensive coordinator extraordinaire.
That's scouting, that's tape, that's certainly knowing your opponent in the quarterback. No, I'll tend to agree with you. I'm trying to draw up that play in my mind and remember it.
It's on the left side. Yeah. I think there's like a trip. CeeDee Lamb is running what I imagine is like kind of a slant or a post.
Yeah.
Probably about 7 to 10 yards,
mm-hmm.
and just right as he gets to the top of it, right about 5 yards.
That's scouting.
Jimmy Ward gives him a good bump. He can't get past that bump. It just stops his momentum. Ball's already out, and it just falls right into the breadbasket of Derek Stingley, who in this game probably should have had 3 interceptions.
He had a couple more passes defense.
All over the football in this game. So shout out to Derek Stingley. But again, more importantly, shout out to DeMeco Ryans, who we all know it. Maybe we don't say it enough because we know it. DeMeco Ryans was in his duffel in this game. This is a play that I can't shake. This might be one of the most memorable memories of the entirety season. It wasn't a good one for the Texans. However, it was this touchdown, the only of the game by the Cowboys.
Empty backfield now for the Cowboys from their 36-yard line, 3rd and 10. Rush out of the gun, throws on the slant. He's got his man, Turpin, wide open, and he's running across the 30, 20, 10. Shot out of a cannon. What speed. Touchdown, Dallas, 64 yards.
And that happens because right at the line, playing press coverage, Jeff Okuda gets the hee-hee.
Yep.
Kevontae Turpin.
That one I remember.
Yeah, Kevontae Turpin gave him that footwork very fast as he's getting across, right? He just beats him at the line. Mm-hmm. And then once he's off to the races, part of this also, and I don't know how much I actually need to put on Kalen Bullock himself, but Kalen is a little slow in that secondary. Mm-hmm. I'm super excited because every time I see one of these plays where I go, ooh, I wonder if Kalen could be better there, it actually makes me happy.
Yeah.
Because I think that there's room for development, there's room for growth, and I know that growth is going to happen between
Noah DeMeco. And who else is going to be back there?
C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
Yeah.
Right? Like, all those things bring that together where I go, ooh, there's room for them to be even more devious as a defense because I think there's places for him to grow.
Yeah, this is where, you know, as you're rewatching and you try to spin it forward, you feel really good about things. You know, 64-yard touchdown there, you know, you think, oh, no. But you have the more experienced Bullock. You have C.J. Gardner-Johnson back there. I think when you spin it forward, you kind of feel good about things.
Some other things that go on as we move on in this game. And I think in the third quarter, Daniil Hunter starts. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no Will Anderson Jr. in this game. And so Daniil is really doing what he can. He bends the corner really well, strong. and he just kicks Terrence Steele, the right tackle for the Cowboys, kicks his ass, man.
Huge game.
Good game for Danielle Hunter. Yeah. And one of the things that really illuminates the fact that individually, Danielle or Will are really, really good. Mm-hmm. And then you have both of them at the same time, and you just, it's incredible what they're capable of doing. Stingley, in another opportunity to salute him, there is a play where CeeDee Lamb runs like a dig route. Mm-hmm. And we see this in one-on-ones. We'll see this here in the next week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Yeah. One-on-ones is inherently unfair for a defensive back, especially playing, you know, man. Mm-hmm. Because if I can go anywhere on the field, it's just you're not going to be able to keep up with me. You already have the disadvantage of I know where I'm going and you don't, so you're reacting. Right. Then if I get a half step on you, I can just accelerate away from you. Mm-hmm. There's one of those types of plays with CeeDee Lamb on a dig route, just smooth across the field. Mm-hmm. And Derek Stingley, and I think if I remember, it's either head up or outside coverage. Really, you should be on his back and he should be able to get that ball and go. CeeDee Lamb's a fast guy. Yeah. He sticks with him. Yeah. The ball is caught and he tackles him damn near as soon as he's caught. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things that seems small, but a cornerback in man coverage by his lonesome, keeping up with a fast guy who is running away from him across mm-hmm. the field where there's not any help. Dog, he's so good.
Yeah, well, couple that with what you saw from Okuda. You know, a defensive back that can do something like that changes the entire sequence of plays in that situation.
Yeah.
You know?
And then in that similar vein, you get a Kadar Holman one-on-one with CeeDee Lamb, where not in bad position, CeeDee Lamb is just better, goes up for a jump ball. Mm-hmm. Again, we've talked about it a lot, not to, you know, beat a dead horse. Cornerback depth is going to be important. Is it a Kadar Holman or D'Angelo Ross or a Jeff Okuda stepping in, or is it a guy that maybe you feel more comfortable coming in and doing what he does? Some other things that happen here. There is a big, big play. Here it is. Incredible stuff. This is 32 here, Fig. This is maybe the most memorable play of the entire season for John Lopez. This is the one where the big man, fat man touchdown. Shout out Derek Barnett.
Rush in trouble. Strip sack. Who's got it? It's still loose. Texans pick it up. Here's Barnett on the run. 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown! Scoop, score, Derek Barnett.
He deserves so much love. We talked about him as an undervalued, under-heralded guy.
Yeah.
That's a dude that beat the left tackle. Now, admittedly, the left tackle was a rookie, and he did not have a great season in Tyler Guyton for the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. But he beats him pretty smooth on the edge with speed. Knocks the ball out, causes a fumble.
It was bedlam. It was like everybody going in different directions. And
Petrie, then it's caught by Guyton. Yeah. Petrie knocks the ball out again, and that's when Barnett then picks it up and goes for a score. Just a fantastic, we'll meet at the quarterback moment.
Yeah.
But the reason why I bring this up, in addition to, hey, you remember how fun that was?
Yeah.
Was that is the play that opens up the game.
Yes.
That is in the start of the fourth quarter. That is the play that opens up the game into mm-hmm. a 10-point game, or like, was that 27-10 at that point? But that is the play that makes this, oh, okay, now this is open game. Yeah. Up until that point, it has felt like a one-score game. It's either been or felt like a one-score game through three quarters of football against a not good Cowboys team.
Yeah, and
that's
reachable.
That's the thing that got me, where I was watching mm-hmm. this and I was like, damn, okay, you turn over the football and you're not making something of it. You're not really blowing this up. Mm-hmm. So it was a get right in some ways. You ultimately get the score you won in 34-10. But even still, this was the insidious part of it, was that they were not able to really blow the doors off the Cowboys in the style and the play of the game. If I had taken off that score bug and just watch the game, you're like, this is the better team.
No.
But they're not a dominant force right now. And that was the thing that was concerning.
But that also, in a weird way, as we, you know, use these games to kind of project, you know, forward, that's also one of those things that maybe encourages you a little bit. The defense never went anywhere in this game. You know, the defense was making plays. We talked about Danielle Hunter, Derek Stingley, Jalen Petrie, you know, the scoop and score here. Just a little bit more efficiency offensively, a little bit more success offensively, and that does become the paint-by-numbers win, you know?
Yeah. Some other things. Can you give me 34 here? Because this also happens in the fourth quarter. And I remember the Derek Barnett. I did not remember this, but this was a big one. Hey, what's up, Petrie?
Down at the Dallas 30, Cooper Rush shotgun. Passes underneath. Ooh. And what a hit! A flag is down. Petrie, too much. Made to the head of Schoonmaker, who gets right up.
And I think we all remember, that was not actually, it shouldn't have been a penalty.
No.
He just hit him so hard that they were like, hey, that's got to be a foul.
That's loud. We better throw the flag. That's really loud.
Now, to be fair, watching that in real time, you thought it was a flag. You're like, oh, but that's that. And then when you look at the replay, that was clean.
Yeah, no, I thought that the was same clean. Thing. Yeah.
He hit him so hard. Okay, so one thing I did want to clear up, because you did say the defense was there. Weirdly enough, they didn't get pressure on this Cowboys offense.
Well, Danielle Hunter did.
He had some, but they didn't get consistent pressure. And I think that it seemed like that was something that they looked at where they were like, hey, Cooper Rush is not a great quarterback. If we get pressure on him, we can have our way with him.
Mm-hmm.
You would typically think, hey, this game isn't opened up, that's the offense's fault. A little bit, that was a defense not getting pressure, which, again, I think maybe we can just chalk up to Will Anderson Jr. means something to this. But I was a little surprised that they didn't get continued pressure until really the fourth quarter when it was happening consistently. And then one more thing that I will throw in here as we wrap this up, or two more things. Remember, you have in the fourth quarter, probably about 3 minutes left. Actually, there's not an offensive touchdown until they get the ball back with 6 minutes in the fourth quarter, like left in the game.
Yeah.
Not an offensive touchdown in the second half. And then they go on we are going to run the football. We are going to make sure that we score here. Which it was like, all right, I'm glad that you could do this, but it was kind of disappointing that they had to force it in that way.
Yeah.
And the final thing that I'll throw out here is actually a Cowboys thing, but I think you'll understand why I say that.
Mm-hmm.
There's pressure on Cooper Rush in the fourth quarter again. This is when it starts happening. He climbs the pocket, and the play is they have outsides run and goes, insides, you know, 2x2, outside wide receivers run and goes, inside receivers run and hooks. One of those receivers is the tight end, Luke Schoonmaker. He runs a hook. He's just kind of sitting there. He has Azeez Alshire in coverage. Admittedly, not a great coverage linebacker, but right there on his back. And then as Cooper Rush is climbing, he throws it to Schoonmaker.
Mm-hmm.
Really good placement. Schoonmaker catches it with Azeez on his back. And I'm like, that is what a sizable tight end is supposed to be.
Oh, yeah.
I can use my body to shield a defender who is on my back and bring it in. And I don't feel like we've gotten nearly enough of that. The only guy that I feel like is capable of doing that right now, blocking out, is Nico Collins. And I feel like we talk about tight ends. That is one thing I'm looking for. Can somebody get somebody on their back and use their size to create an opportunity to catch the football?
Because they're going
to
be contacted, all that stuff.
Huge. Yeah. Plus, what I think that does is that will give CJ another confident guy to throw. If I know that, hey, he's there, he may be covered, but he can use his body to make sure that this ball gets there. I just seeing that made me long for it. Just seeing it for another team, I was like, damn, why haven't the Texans been able to do that? So, yeah, that was one thing I saw. A very, very, I mean, still a good win, but one that left a little something to be desired, oddly enough, for me on a Monday night. But, yes, a victory, 34-10, nonetheless, last year for the Texans. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Somebody said, I don't care how they do it, but Dallas versus the Texans should be yearly.
Yeah.
I can get with that.
Yeah.
I can get with that, honestly. All right, coming up next, let's get into our lunchtime confessions as we always do. Next.